what feeds my soul so much is when people come up to me and say, because of you, this happened for me. My first speaker series, a woman came and she got funded by my speaker. She you know, sent her deck to this person and she got funded. She got her first round of funding from this woman. We've had relationships created, business relationships created from the speaker series. We've had, and it's really all about that for me. It's like, I've done something to change someone's life. And so, yes, I do believe that this is a calling. And I feel so alive when I'm up there on stage with another woman, having that conversation about what she's done and what she could do. It's just, it makes me so excited and so passionate about what I'm doing. And I believe that this is where I'm supposed to be.
You're listening to Hooked on Startups, where every week you'll hear from some of the most talented, inspiring, and successful entrepreneurs who share their real life stories, how they overcame challenges and failures, and how they mastered success. Get ready for some of the best business tips, tricks and tactics, and some frank, unscripted discussions. Here's your host, Matthew Sullivan.
So on Hooked on Startups today, I can't begin to tell you how delighted I am to have Hillary Gadsby with me. Hillary, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Matthew. Hi, everybody.
So Hillary, you are the founder of Stiletto Gal.
Yes,
co-founder and of the Boss Box, which we'll talk about, and the CEO and founder of A Gadsby Affair, which sounds most intriguing. So I'm going to give a 10-second roundup. So Stiletto Gal is designed to inspire, educate, and connect women entrepreneurs.
Yes.
A Gadsby Affair is all about creating amazing events, product launches. You've worked with Gucci, Ralph Lauren, Toyota, the Four Seasons, Saks Fifth Avenue, Aston Martin. The Boss Box is a subscription box and community for women in business. But it's just so much more than that. So where do we start? I mean, let's start with A Gadsby Affair. How about that?
Sure. So A Gadsby Affair started, and this actually leads right into the Boss Box as well, is that basically I had no mentors, no female mentors when I started my business. I had started it because there was a lack of return on investment for events. So I was working for this other company out of San Diego doing business development for them. It was a kind of a concierge event planning firm, and it just wasn't the right fit for me. I had always kind of wanted to go out on my own. I'm kind of a serial entrepreneur, have been since I was about 11. And I wanted to find a way to get a return on investment for clients. And so I was bringing this one client in and he said, you know, you can do this on your own. I know you can. And the only reason I'm working, you know, I'm signing with this company is because of you. I want to work with you. So within probably 2 minutes of kind of going back and forth, he said, why don't you just start your own company? Why don't you send me a proposal by tomorrow? And then, you know, let's go from there. So I sent a proposal that was $50 less to do client appreciation events for an accounting firm. And the rest is history. He hired us for one event. And then after that one event, we had seven more. And that's how my career started in strategic marketing and events for A Gadsby Affair. So I literally created the company within about 2 minutes.
Which is brilliant. But I mean, the key phrase there is he said, I want to work with you.
Yes.
And I think really a lot of what sales is all about and relationships is about the personal relationship. So even though you might have this most amazing company and graphics and buildings, but if the people there don't have that ability to connect, how important in your experience is that connection, that ability to really connect with your customers?
Well, it's one of the most important things I think in business. I actually started out with connections. I believe that every single person that you meet will bring you to something even greater. And I have believed that in every part of my life, every part of my business. And when you want to connect with your clients, you have to find a way to connect them to other people to help elevate their business at the same time.
And a lot of people really are in it for themselves. I mean, I don't mean to be glib about this, but when when you're trying to connect with people, a lot of the, if you go onto Facebook, then a lot of these courses, you know, always be closing, sell, sell, sell. It's, you know, take, take, take. And I've listened to a number of the interviews that you've been on. And one of the common themes is this idea of collaboration and abundance. In other words, you don't have to take from people. It doesn't have to be all about you. So can we explore that? What is your views on how collaborating with people and elevating other people, as you say, is so important?
I mean, it is, I'd say the most important thing for me is collaborating with other people because, you know, two heads are always better than one. You know, three heads are better than two. It's about finding what your strengths are and what the other person's strengths are, your weaknesses, their strengths, and putting them together to create something even bigger. Like you said, in a lot of my interviews, I talk about collaboration and how important it is. And I don't believe in competition. I believe in collaboration. I believe in that people can help one another in so many ways. We may be doing the same thing, but there's always a way to collaborate instead of compete.
Earlier, you said you didn't have a mentor, and it strikes me that your journey was probably a little bit more difficult than you make it out. Tell me a little bit about the sort of challenges that you faced in building a Gatsby Affair, because you had the one client, but one client doesn't build a business. How did you find life after that moment?
Well, my dad gave me the gift of gab. So the Englishman that he is, he gave me the gift of gab, and I just started networking like crazy. You know, one of the things that was really important to me was, okay, who is my client? And I actually went into the financial services businesses. So I started with an accounting firm and I thought, okay, well, if I'm going to be doing an accounting firm, why not go to banks? Why not go to other accounting firms? Why not stay in that area? So what I did is I started joining networking groups that had those service firms in them. So why not go right to your client, right? Your potential client. So that's exactly what I did. So I started joining boards of different organizations. I joined an organization called Business Forums International, which started by Houlihan Lokey, was now bought, I believe, by BDO. I was part of some very private networking groups, a gentleman by the name of Carl Turzian, who passed away a few years ago. And I met pretty much most of the people that are my closest, I would say Rolodex, if you will, now, and they have introduced me to other people. I've pretty much done everything for my business referral-based only. I never really marketed. It was always referral-based. And I would like to talk, Matthew, about, you know, people wanting to work with just me. And that's a challenge that I've had in a Gatsby Affair, because when people only want to work with you, it's very difficult to scale. Very difficult to go from that next thing. So if they say, I want to work with you, so you end up closing them, working on the client, but you have no time to go out and get your own business. So that's been a very difficult thing for me. And I think that a lot of entrepreneurs and service businesses, they struggle with that. And I definitely have.
And building a business is one of the most difficult things, because you, as the founder, the visionary, you have a very precise view of how you want everything to be. So yeah, Trying to get people to work with you as partners or employees must be very difficult.
You know, it hasn't been. I've been really lucky. I do everything with independent contractors. I don't have employees because we are an event-based business. So it's project-based. I have found one person who is incredible. She's an extension of me, and she's even better than me. And I found her through friends. And then I tried her out, and we started working together, and I mentored her and got her to another level. And that's kind of what I like to do. I like to kind of, you know, have people be mentored by me, work with me, and see how we work together. And trust me, she and I have very differing opinions about things, and we've had, you know, fights on a lot of things, but I really trust her. She's become the most amazing businesswoman, and everything that I do on the event side is with her. Her name is Shanoa Mason, and she's fantastic.
And why do you think it is that you went through your early phases of business without a mentor? Is it because it was something where you thought, well, I can do this on my own, I don't need a mentor? Or was it that there weren't people around that resonated with you? Or
a lot of the mentors that I had or advisors were men. And they weren't necessarily in the same industry as me. They were able to tell me, okay, this is what you need to do to get the next clients. You know, how do you leverage the ones you already have? How do you leverage your connections? But I didn't have female mentors. And I think that maybe things would have been different if I had, but maybe not. You know, maybe the male energy gave me sort of that fire under me that, you know, took me to another level. I don't know. But the reason why I created Stiletto Gal, why I created the Boss Box, because I wanted to have those female mentors for the next generation.
And do you think that it's still very difficult for women entrepreneurs to get their business off the ground, even though, you know, here we are with all of the sort of sexual equality and, but do you think there is still, is it more difficult in your experience to overcome those business hurdles if you're a woman entrepreneur as opposed to, you know, a guy?
Yes, I do. And it's in funding. Women still have a really difficult time in funding. And I actually just heard not too long ago, a woman who went out for funding, and she's actually a VC, and she was talking to someone who pitched her and said, you know, there's a problem right now because of what's happening in Hollywood with the Hyatt Harvey Weinstein and the politics. Yeah. And actually VCs and investors are afraid to be in a room with a woman because of that. And that was really hard because women are starting businesses at astounding rates.
Sure.
And we still have problems getting funding with banks, with investors. It's just very, very difficult for us. There are women who are making headway, but it's still very difficult.
And do you think those were the major, do you think you were held back, or did it just make you even more determined when you were building a Gatsby Affair? Because you started that company 8 years ago. And I think 8 years ago, it was a very different sort of landscape, business landscape, to what it is now. So do you think the challenges have increased, or do you think it's become a little bit easier?
A little bit easier, a little bit. But my business is, service-based businesses can be very difficult. You know, I started my business when the economy was really tanking, and that was very difficult. But I was actually able to stay in the black for many, many years. I've been able to, you know, do my business, work on the business, get new clients, and stay kind of where I am for a long time. I have pivoted, obviously, a little bit. I'm focusing more on other things, but I feel like I'm kind of a hustler. I have an alpha attitude. So when it comes to business, and I'm known for it, I'm very sort of stoic when it comes to business and matter of fact. So I just go in, get it done, get done what I need, and then move on. So I think that's helped me a lot. But I also think that a female mentor could have helped me even more to be maybe even softer.
And do you think that's really what led you to Stiletto Gal in the first place? That was there a moment where you thought, almost like a moment of realization when you thought, hang on a second, it shouldn't be this difficult. And how do I turn that into something where I can start helping other people?
Sure. So it was actually a client of mine. I have this yellow peep toe python stiletto that I wear, and I wore them to a client meeting one day. And they introduced me to their colleagues as the stiletto girl. Like, they were kind of like, this girl is all about her shoes. She always wears really fun shoes. And I was sitting with a blogger friend of mine in a cafe, and she said, I love your stilettos. And Stiletto Gal popped in my head, and I bought the domain name right there. And I really didn't know what I wanted to do with it. I was like, all right, how can I use this to elevate my business, to get more, you know, to market my business? Because this is my personal brand. I'm going to start it as my personal brand. And what came out of it was a day in the life of a woman entrepreneur is told by her shoes. So it was walking a mile in my shoes every single day as a woman entrepreneur. And I wanted to give inspiration to the next generation. And then it turned into a speaker series in 2014. I was approached by the membership director of a private members club in Santa Monica. I was speaking to some Loyola Marymount students. She said, you need to do this. And so we created Secrets of Successful Women Entrepreneurs. And it's been going since 2014. It's now called Boss Talks, but it's a fireside chat between myself and another woman. So it's walking a mile in their shoes as well. And on Stiletto Gal, we have Walk a Mile in Her Shoes every Thursday, where we feature a woman. It's a interview series on stilettogal.com, where I ask certain questions of, you know, challenges and what their legacy is going to be and what it's like to be a woman entrepreneur.
And do you find is it a challenge to get people to really, not so much admit, but to actually really level with you in terms of what their challenges are? Because in some respects, it's tempting when you're on these sort of interviews to say, everything is fine, business is brilliant, I'm growing, as opposed to saying, well, look, actually, these are the challenges I'm facing, and to be vulnerable. And do you think that that's something that Stiletto Girl is enabling people to do, is to, you're exposing these vulnerabilities and making people aware of that?
So yes, I do. I feel like we have been able to extract that kind of information from entrepreneurs. They are, I don't know whether it's the questions I ask or because I'm easy to talk to. I talk to them as if they were my girlfriend. It's not like an interview kind of thing. It's like they're my girlfriend and we're having a chat. Yeah. And I feel like it makes them more comfortable to be vulnerable and to say, you know, yeah, it kind of sucks doing this. You know, it can really, you know, you get punched in the gut every 5 seconds. You get a lot of no's. And, you know, I think that that's been really good for me. I've been able to get that information out in both the interviews on Stiletto Gal and also the speaker series.
But I think that's really the life of an entrepreneur as well. So it's not exclusively, obviously there are all sorts of different challenges, but I think would you say part of it is just the life of an entrepreneur and part of it is just trying to compete generally? But is it that sharing of you know, these are the these are the crap days I've had in the last few days because no one seems to be taking my calls? And I think a lot of it is it just sort of sharing those sort of ideas?
Yeah, I think that it is definitely the life of an entrepreneur. I mean, I don't know if you've ever seen the it's been on Instagram or Facebook, and it's this what it's like to be an entrepreneur, and it's like hell yes, and then it's like oh crap, and then it's like hell yes, and then oh crap and hell yes. It's like the up and down, and that's what it is to be an entrepreneur. You never have like this sort of steady sort of thing. It's not like a corporate job, and you're gonna be like this all the time. And you know, there have been so many people out there who have been extremely successful who have failed miserably, but they're billionaires now. So it's just really, you know, it's that idea, it's how you execute it, it's the right team. You know, I think that even the most successful businesses can have really horrible days, because that's what it is to be an entrepreneur.
Yes, I think it is. But also, I think it's just that it's finding the drive, because if you imagine you've got all these highs and lows. So from your perspective, how did you find the drive with everything that was against you in terms of, you know, not just what you wanted to be and where you wanted to go, but just the sort of business and the sort of brand that you wanted to create? I mean, you must have had some moments where you thought, hang on, I was going to say hang up my boots, but I have this vision of these sort of yellow peep toed stilettos. I'm going to have to Google that later, actually. I'm not a, but were there moments when you thought, hang on, this is just too difficult?
Oh yes, many times. When you're not sure if your next rent check's going to come and what are you going to do? And it's really interesting what the universe brings you when you ask for it, though. You know, whether it's God, universe. I've had so many things where people have tried to steal my business ideas, to, you know, bad partners, to really bad clients. It's just, yes, I've gotten burnout. I've gotten to the point where I was like, I don't want to do this anymore. And then something new invigorates me. I think it's kind of a combination between the people in your circle, the clients that you have, that kind of just to reinvigorate you to keep going. I think it's not just yourself. It's other people that need to help you do that. And that's what I've relied on a lot of female friends, male friends, to kind of keep me going and say, Hillary, you got this, you're the goods, you can do this. And it takes a little bit of, you know, self-love, but you know, I've been able to do it. I mean, just the other day I was like, why am I doing this? But you know, what I have now is a brand new startup. So it's tough, and it's in a business that I've never done before. Product and e-commerce are, you know, so foreign to me.
And if we can talk about that for a moment, because this is the Boss Box.
Yes.
And which is it's an amazing idea, because it's a combination of, I suppose, like, a, you know, it's learning, which is very much in the digital space, but mm-hmm. with stuff. So is this sort of, you know what I mean? So is this, it's a combination of mentoring and guidance and teaching, but yes. with really cool stuff that turns up in a box.
Exactly. Well, what we want to do is, women love products. They love beauty. They love fashion. They like things for mindfulness, wellness. They want something tangible to grab, you know, to be able to use it. And we wanted to combine that, both the digital aspect and also the product aspect together. And we created our Boss Box here. This is our little quarterly box that you get. And what it does is it provides you inspiration. The products in the box are actually female founded. So we make sure that we have female founded product, mostly female founded products in there, because it's all about inspiring people, right? They see a product in our box, they're like, wow, I can do that too. What a great product. I can do it. You know, they got into the Boss Box. They, you know, they're obviously a brand that, you know, really resonated with the founders, and, you know, I want to use it too. And then we partnered with Dale Carnegie of Greater Los Angeles, Ventura County, and created the Boss Box Academy series, which is a booklet that all our subscribers get. It's about this big. It's 25 pages, and it has different lessons in it. The first box that we launched in July, shipped in September, that one was all about, you know, getting to what you want to do. So it had time management. It had your mission statement to reality. It had the Pareto principle, the 80-20 rule. So we had that kind of thing. And then you have a 60-minute or 90-minute coaching session live with other of the subscribers to talk about what your struggles are, what your needs are in your business, whether you're a solopreneur, somebody who's doing it as a side business, or full on, you know, trying to scale. So we cater to both entrepreneurial women as well as corporate women. It's, you know, leveling up in your career or leveling up in your business. That's what the Boss Box is here to do. And then also provide you the products that inspire you and help you along the way.
And do you find that you're creating almost a movement where, yes. where you're attracting the sort of people that you didn't have at the beginning of your entrepreneurial career? So it's not just about your, yes. something that you think is happening now.
I do believe that it's happening. Yes. I mean, it's something I started with Stiletto Gal. I believe that it's a movement was created with the speaker series. We have 85 to 100 women every single time. It's just been really great and inspiring these women. And that's where the Boss Box came into play, is that I wanted to create a toolkit for these women. So, you know, it's for them to be part of a community that they can help one another. Our job with this box is not only to help create new businesses, but it's also to get women to collaborate with each other instead of compete. It's how they do business differently. That's my goal for the Boss Box. My other co-founders have, you know, something else, but this is my goal for the Boss Box.
And I'd love to question you more on something you just said. Do you think women do business differently?
Yes, I do. I do think we do business differently. I feel like we have a lot more passion with something. I mean, especially I do. I feel like there's a lot more passion when it comes to your business. I also feel like our businesses are like our children.
Yeah.
Men, it's very different. I think we get very attached to our businesses more so than men. And sometimes that can be good and sometimes it can't be. But I mean, there are a lot of, you know, women starting businesses and doing very, very well. So, you know, we have some sort of secret sauce, right?
But do you think also, aside from the attachment to your business, as it were, just in the way that you interact with people with your business, mm-hmm. Because I think a lot of entrepreneurs, a lot of founders have that passion, because that's what you need, that passion, that vision. That's what sort of drives you through those dark winter mornings. Mm-hmm. But you talked earlier about collaboration. Do you think it's the community that you're building? Do you find it is more, is there a quantum difference, as it were, with this community that you're building in terms of how the flow of information and ideas moves around?
Yes, I do. I mean, I think it's very, I was actually on the first training call, and these women were extremely vulnerable with each other. And I think that that's something that we bring to the table. And it's so important when you are creating a community, you have to be vulnerable with them. You have to show them that you can be just as vulnerable as they are to get them to open up. So I've opened up a lot more since I've started this, and letting people know that, you know, the challenges and the difficulties that I've had in all of my businesses.
And so we have, you've got the three sort of businesses, but I suppose you would you describe Stiletto Gal as a business or more of a media platform?
Media platform. I actually, the Stiletto Gal is actually now pretty much the Boss Box. So we're kind of rolling all of that in. I'm still Stiletto Gal as a personality, and I'll still do content, but the Boss Box is really where that's moving.
And again, and what is the key thing? So what is the key point that you think that you deliver in this? Is it mentoring? Is it just the feeling that there are other people out there like you trying to build a business?
Yes, we are providing tools to thrive to help you along the way. We've been there, done that, and we're here to help you get out of, you know, uncertainty, the difficulty of being an entrepreneur, inspire you to see what other women can do. We are there to help scale your business. It's so many different things. I believe that we are bringing leadership into these boxes. Every single box has a boss in it. So we feature a woman who has kind of really either exited her company or has been so, so successful. Our second box, which launched about a week ago, that one is Tina Aldatz, who founded Foot Pedals, which was sold for millions of dollars a few years ago. And now she has a company called Savvy Travelers. Yeah. So she's all about giving her tips on how to be a boss, what it takes to be a boss. And her business partner, Margie Flores, she's also in there. So we have two bosses in the second box, and they're all about giving those ideas and the mentorship. And we have a mentorship platform that we're building as well, where certain members will have access to them. So it's all about access, community, and tools to thrive.
And do you think this is more of a calling for you? So is it because I've seen this in many, many successful people, when you get to a certain point of success and you just feel like I can just keep doing this and it'll just get bigger and bigger, but so what? It doesn't feed my soul. Was this a gradual thing, or was it a moment of discovery, or did you just have this feeling sort of growing inside you that this is something you needed to do?
It's something I needed to do. I didn't really realize it until, you know, what feeds my soul so much is when people come up to me and say, because of you, this happened for me. My first speaker series, a woman came and she got funded by my speaker. She you know, sent her deck to this person, and she got funded. She got her first round of funding from this woman. We've had relationships created, business relationships created from the speaker series. We've had, and it's really all about that for me. It's like, I've done something to change someone's life. And so, yes, I do believe that this is a calling. And I feel so alive when I'm up there on stage with another woman, having that conversation about what she's done and what she could do. It's just, it makes me so excited and so passionate about what I'm doing. And I believe that this is where I'm supposed to be.
And do you find that, do you feel that over time there will be more of you in the Boss Box? Because at the moment you have the Dell Carnegie, sort of the academy, which is powered by other people. But do you think over time that you'll have more and more of your sort of heart and soul, that you'll be able to articulate your journey and it'll become much more of you rather than a collection of other people's works, as it were?
I think it will be a combination of both.
And that sounds like there's something on the horizon that I've just touched that shall remain secret.
No, it's coming. It's coming. We're in the middle of putting it together. There's going to be an entire back end of this that's going to be pretty amazing.
Because you see, and again, we mentioned this earlier, but on Facebook or anywhere you go, there's, you know, every third scroll moment is someone saying, you know, I had the cure for this, I have the answer to that, click here to find out how to make $1 billion in 13.3 seconds.
Yes.
And how do you compete against that?
I'm not looking to compete against them. And I don't have all the answers, and neither do my co-founders. We just want to help other people move forward in the way that is best for them. You know, I don't feel like, you know, these people, oh, I'm going to bring you $1 million. That's not what we're saying. We're not here to say we're going to bring you $1 million. We're going to give you the tools to get to where you want to be, where you could be. It's not about that one shot kind of thing. It's gradual. And it's about bringing them a community that's going to help them along the way. It's not just me and my co-founders. It's everybody that's part of this.
And that will clearly shine out, because I think you can tell very quickly if these things that you're scrolling through are just, you know, people making it up. So what I think shines out from everything you're saying is just that window into, you know, the authenticity, the fact that these are things that you've been through, that you've struggled through. This isn't just another business idea that, you know, how do I tap into this market? It's a calling. It's something that I need to do. And I mean, how important do you think that authenticity is in building a personal brand?
It's extremely important, you know, especially with millennials. They want to see the raw you. They want to see everything that is wrong. They want to see everything that's right. They want to be they want to co-create something with you. And that's my goal, is to be able to co-create something with all of our subscribers.
And I think that's the unique thing, is the fact that what you're creating really does have that energy. It does have something that is not just a course, you know, turn to page 9 or something. It's something that is really evolving and it has your heart and soul. And now that you're on this path, do you find it more of a challenge than your other businesses? Is this something that is harder than you've done before?
Yes, much harder. Like I said, I have no idea how to do e-commerce. None. I am learning. I'm like a sponge right now. I feel like I'm a little kid learning over and over something. You know, I've joined these different Facebook groups that's all about subscription box businesses. I've gotten, you know, consultations from people who have done subscription boxes. I have done, you know, how to run them, how to scale them, how to get new customers. Like every single day, every single night, I am up late just trying to get more and more information that I can possibly learn on how to run a subscription box company and how to do e-commerce and growth hacking and all that. You know, I think that's really important when you're in a startup, is that you have to just be a sponge and you have to consume everything that you can and learn. And when you've learned that and, you know, and you scale, then you can find someone else who's better at it, who can do better than you. You know, I don't think that we should all be doing, you know, we all wear a ton of hats, but I don't think it should be that way always. You have to outsource to people who know actually what they're doing.
You're right. But again, that's a very important point, because, you know, many people are very successful because they do exactly what you're doing, which is where you roll your sleeves up and you say, look, you know, I'm going to figure this out. I'm not going to advertise for an e-commerce specialist, because, you know, what do I put in the ad? I don't know what this is about. So the ad says, I don't know anything about e-commerce. Please come and teach me how to do everything.
Which, right.
You know, so that's, but your point where you're throwing yourself in, that must be exciting and challenging at the same time. You know, that sort
of tiring. It's like, how do you do this? And then how do you settle a box, right? You know, it's not really necessarily just the box. Like you said, it's the community, it's everything that it represents. It's not just a product. And so how do you do that? And that's, you know, something that we're learning every single day on how do you scale this? Where do you go from here?
It has to be yours though, doesn't it? The important thing is that you, and e-commerce is really, it's a number of different things, but the communication method, the whole, you know, what is the essence behind BossBox? That's all. Did you find that you need to know everything about it just to get to the point where you can say, okay, now you can do that, you can do that, and you can do that?
No, I don't think you need to know everything about it. I think that there are little tidbits of information that you need to know before you purchase this. I mean,
For you to run the business. I mean, do you feel that before you're in a position to start building your team, you really should be, you know?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I mean, I want to know every aspect of this business from the fulfillment stage. I mean, you saw my apartment earlier. It's like there are boxes piled and piled up, you know. I live in my warehouse basically. I think that, and I don't mind it. I actually love it because I know that I'm building something pretty amazing. And if I'm living in it and I'm, you know, living and breathing it every single day, the better I will be to lead a team about it. You know, they'll see the passion that we have. They'll see that I know what I'm talking about instead of somebody who doesn't.
And is that for me, it gives me a tremendous buzz creating new companies. It's that challenge. And you're sort of saying to yourself, okay, so how good are you really to yourself? You know, you're setting yourself these challenges. Mm-hmm. And it's do you sort of get that same buzz now? Because this is your third, fourth business. And is it still there?
It's still there, especially with this one. I think this one is the most exciting that I have ever done. I really, you know, I love it. Especially that call that I was on, the training call with our coach and the subscribers, they're just so excited. And they're like, I love my box. And, you know, I love everything. And I can't, you know, this is exactly what I needed. You know, this training, I didn't realize I needed it. Now I know I needed it. And it's just, it makes me feel so excited for these women who are buying it. And I get such a high off of doing this. I don't know where it comes from. It's just there.
Yeah. I think it's the fact that you've found a real problem and yes. You've created a solution for it. And people are saying, this is exactly what I need. But then I guess there's that, oh my God moment where, you know, what have I got? What have I done? You know, so then you think, yeah. I can't let these people down. It's got to be better. So then there's that whole sort of pressure you put on yourself.
There is a lot of pressure that we put on ourselves. We definitely want it to be, you know, better and better and better and better. You know, we have some amazing bosses who are going to be in the next boxes and products. The second box is all about money and abundance because, you know, it ships in January. So it's all about the new year, you know, getting your finances in order for your business, for your life, et cetera. And it's very exciting. The third one is all about, you know, doing things for yourself and the mindfulness and wellness. And you have to kind of look at it and say, okay, well, what is it that I need for me?
Yeah.
And then translate it to the subscriber.
And do you find yourself sort of saying, when you get this really amazing nugget of information from one of your bosses, as it were, or maybe you're talking to her on the phone or meeting her and she says something and you go, wow, that's fantastic. Do you find yourself just nodding, going, uh-huh, yeah, I knew that. And then you sort of put that in your mind and go, God, that's brilliant. You know, the fact that you're finding all this amazing information from these people and you find you're growing as well. Just so it's all like is it that sort of,
oh, absolutely. I mean, I don't feel like I know everything at all. I think that I'm still learning and, you know, I just turned 40 and I'm still learning. I'm still learning everything that I need to know. And these women have so much wisdom when it comes to business, especially Tina and Margie. They have, I mean, they have been through a lot. And, you know, one thing I love about them is that they're partners. And yes. I will say women and partners is hard. Yeah. I've had so many partners that have just not worked out. And, you know, they have been able to stay together for so many years, from Foot Pedals to now Savvy Travelers. It's incredible. And what is that secret sauce, right? And I want to know it. I want to know how, you know, my co-founders and I can do better for ourselves as partners, and how we can translate that to others. I think that's so important.
Yeah. I think the only problem is that if I was a subscriber to the, you know, to the Boss Box, I would hate having to wait 3 months for the next one. Well, how are you going to fix that? Because you're going to get people phoning you up saying, okay, you know, how much for the next one? I'll pay double or triple or something.
Well, it takes time to curate them, obviously. And so we're curating the third box right now, and also the fourth. And so we didn't want to do something every month because, quite honestly, curating is a lot of work. And doing something every month, there are other boxes out there that are kind of similar that do every month. We wanted every quarter, and then behind it, what we're building, we have about 18 pieces of content that's about to drop onto our site. So they're going to be inspired by more content as well. And also we're going to have some other trainings and things like that that are going to come along. So they won't be so, you know, missing that box.
Yeah. So it becomes something that I can almost be part of my daily routine with this expectation that Christmas comes four times a year now.
Right. Well, I mean, you know, women love, I think anybody loves to just have a gift and open it. And what we do is, you know, when for the whole experience of the box, it's like you're opening up your own gift.
It's not just women. I Amazon stuff to myself regularly. just for the hell of going, oh, look, there's a box for me. I wonder what that is. I mean, I know what it is, but, you know.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's everybody. I think, you know, it's that sort of psychological thing. It's like, oh my gosh, I have a gift for myself. You know, I get to open it and, you know, what's inside, and it's exciting. So
that's where selective memory becomes really useful.
Yeah.
Oh, look, surprise. It is brilliant, but you can tell just the excitement. I think it's the excitement of the fact that it's new, that you've created it, that it's working, and that yes. You're getting this feedback, you're creating this momentum, this movement, that you're helping all these people, and you know, the sort of feedback that you're getting when people say just those few words that you said just unlocked everything.
Yes.
So that's and talking a few words that unlock everything. I'm now going to launch into my 10 questions.
That, I love it.
That will unlock endless amounts of information. I now have to say thank you again to James Lipton for this. I'm just technically borrowing these questions, and apologies to everyone who listens to this who hears me say that same thing over and over again. So anyway, my first question is, what is your favorite word?
My favorite word, I'd have to say, is peace.
As in the opposite of war?
Yes.
And what is your least favorite word?
Envy.
You do realize these are two completely new words. No one has had these before, so you are the winner so far of the new word game. Peace and envy. Number three, what are you most excited about right now?
Opportunity.
Oh, brilliant. And what turns you off right now?
What turns me off? I'd have to say arguing turns me off.
Between partners or people in the street throwing things at each other?
In general, I don't like confrontation.
I know that seems to be right now there is an air of confrontation. So hopefully that will pass. I know what you mean. So what sound or noise do you love?
I love anybody singing. I love to sing, and I love to hear people sing. So anybody singing a song, it just perks my ears up.
So what sound or noise do you hate?
I hate the sound of a honking horn, like a car and somebody honking at you.
That's that sort of violence confrontational, isn't it?
Yes.
And what is your favorite curse word, sort of leading gently onto that?
actually, it's something English, the English say. Bloody hell.
And do people understand exactly how powerful that is?
No.
I mean, it sounds very innocuous, but the weight of those two words have destroyed nations. Mm-hmm. So we shall share that. I mean, we shall. This is all about educating our listeners and viewers here. So
exactly.
It's a shame we can't trademark it, actually.
Yeah.
Get some sort of, you know, some sort of payment for it. Anyway, so what profession other than your own would you like to attempt?
Gosh, that's a hard one. I don't know, maybe politics.
That's really easy. Come on, you can see who's doing it now. It can't be that hard. No, you're right. Sorry. And what profession would you not like to attempt?
I don't know if I would ever want to be a teacher, like a public school teacher, especially because they have so little resources.
And I guess you're in that business now. So you're teaching now. And so you're beginning to see just how challenging that is, I guess.
Yes.
And my final question is, if heaven exists, what would you like to hear God say when you arrive at the pearly gates?
Come on in.
That's fantastic. Hillary, thank you for being such a brilliant guest. My final question is, how do people find out more about you and what you're doing with Stiletto Gal and the Boss Box?
Sure. So my social media, you can always see what I do. I post pretty much every day. It's The Stiletto Gal, THESTHESTILETTOGAL on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. And then for the Boss Box, we are thebossbox.com. And we're the Boss Box official on all social media handles.
Fantastic. That's brilliant. Good. Well, I'll put all those links in the show notes. Hillary, thanks again for being such a brilliant guest. And, you know, I can't wait to follow your progress and, you know, hopefully get you back on the show at some point in the future.
I would love that. Thank you so much, Matthew.